In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our gospel this morning comes from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, in which he makes very clear that he came not to abolish or destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So he comes not as a rebel or a radical, but to reveal the fullness of the law, what you might say it was always intended to be. So he tells us, don't break the law, but practice what you preach. Be hearers of the word and doers also. The Pharisees, he tells us in another place, sit in Moses' seat. They teach the law. So do what they tell you to do, but do not do what they do. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear, and they're not willing to help lift them with a finger. So don't be like them. Be better than them. Not by adding more rules or more strictly judging others, but by keeping the law in your own heart as it was always intended to be kept. He then goes through several laws or commandments to illustrate what this looks like, not just to obey the letter, but the spirit of the law. In our text this morning, he talks about the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not murder. You've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You've heard, don't murder someone. But that's like the epitome, the peak, the ultimate form of this type of sin. But it takes place in all sorts of degrees, things ranging from anger without cause all the way to actively taking someone else's life. You might call this whole range hatred. This is the sin of murder. Our Lord tells us, don't relax this thing by holding yourself only to the ultimate form. When we examine our hearts, we should not be thinking, okay, do not kill. I haven't murdered anyone in the last 30 days, so I must be good there. Rather, this is an opportunity to examine our heart, and the Lord being our helper, to search out those traces of hatred that we keep buried inside. Have you been angry with your brother without cause? Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been angry without cause. I always have good reason for it. But that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying, do you have someone else, some event to blame or to give reason for your anger? That's not a cause. Think cause here more as an end. Is there a good purpose? Meaning, is your anger driving you towards reconciliation, towards goodness? Is there some offense that bothers you? But what you hope for above all else is that you would be reconciled with this person. That's anger with a cause. Anger without a cause is when you're mad at someone and you don't even want to reconcile. You just want them to go away, to stop. I'm not even sure I ever want to be their friend again. I just want them to know what they did to me. This is anger without a cause. And with these thoughts or attitudes of heart, we are in danger of judgment. Our Lord then takes a step further. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, is in danger of the council. And Raca is one of those words that's kind of tough to translate. That's why it stays in its original form. And maybe because it's a little less of a word and more of a gesture or a sentiment, like, I don't care what happens to this person. I wish him the best, which sometimes when we say that, what we really mean is, I just hope they never come back here. But this is the point where we stop wanting the good for someone else. It's not just that we don't want to reconcile, we're just apathetic. We don't really care what happens to them. We stop willing good for them. We stop being willing to be a conduit or vessel for God's grace given to them. That's step two in our progression of hatred. Anger without a cause has escalated to from not desiring reconciliation to not desiring good. And then comes step three. Whoever shall say to his brother, "Thou fool," shall be in danger of hellfire. These are not light words. At this point, we're no longer just closed off to reconciliation. We're no longer merely apathetic towards the other person. Now we want to express negativity, and we want others to see them not as good, but as a fool. Our Lord tells us that it's not what goes into our mouth that defiles us, but it's what comes out. And if this is the kind of thing that comes out of our mouth, this seething kind of negativity towards others, we have no desire to reconcile. We have no desire for them to improve. We're not just desiring for them to be cut off from us. We want them to be cut off from good. And in this place, we become the accuser and are consequently in danger of hellfire. Do you see the escalation from anger without cause to murder? From desiring not to reconcile to desiring that this person would be cut off from good? This is how our Lord teaches us to think about sin with this kind of depth, with this kind of breadth, not to take it lightly. And in a few moments, we will together, in unison, acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness. This is not light language, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed. And it's a good principle to keep in mind that when you have sinned in thought, that the remedy is in thought, meaning your prayer before the Lord, your repentance in heart before the Lord. When you have transgressed in word, the remedy is in word. You need to reconcile with your brother or sister in word. And when the transgression is in deed, the remedy should be in deed. We see this escalation of thought, word, and deed in our own prayer before the Lord as a body this morning. And it's meet and right for us to confess together. But it's also good and meet and right, and I might even say necessary, that we're in some rhythm of examining our hearts privately, preparing ourselves privately for a confession spoken in word to a priest. For many reasons. But for the purposes I'm talking about this morning, it gives us the opportunity to examine our hearts in relation to sin in a way that we might not have the time or capacity to do this morning together. There are many tools, you might say, that can be helpful in an examination. You can find them in many different prayer books. This is the St. Augustine's Prayer Book, which I highly recommend as a supplement to our 1928. But one of the things that an examine does is go through the Ten Commandments and ask additional questions to help sort of consider your heart in relation to God in light of this sin. And so this is the section of the Sixth Commandment, hate, or you might say, murder. Thou shalt do no murder. Have you killed anyone, either in outward deed or in your heart? Have you wished that someone was dead? Have you been angry unjustly, struck someone, or hurt them by ridicule or contempt? Have you ever cursed someone? Have you gossiped about anyone? Is there anyone with whom you now hold a grudge or are unwilling to forgive? Think how often God has forgiven you and ask Him to help you forgive and love your enemies for His sake. Have you refused to help someone who was in real need of help? Have you ignored the sick or the poor? Not tried to be friendly with people, especially with people who are not very popular? Have you been afraid to stand up for a person when others are mistreating them? Have you ever taught or tempted another person to sin? If these are the kind of things that are classified as murder, it should cause us to pause, causes me to pause. Thinking of sin at this depth or with this kind of range of degree is burdensome. And I know that I'm at risk of being like a Pharisee, increasing burdens of others and not being willing to lift them with a finger myself. So as I say all of this, I admit I am still learning, still growing, and I pray that that continues. And so as I close, I just want to call to your attention the comfortable words that we will hear together in a few moments after, not coincidentally, our confession of sin. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next two deal most directly with sin. This is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you feel burdened by sin this morning, I have good news. You're exactly the kind of person that our Lord came to save. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. If you feel heavy with your own sin this morning, that is healthy. And I invite you to come and allow our Lord to do, to trust him to do that which the Pharisees would not, to come under your burdens with you and for your sake, and to do as a good shepherd would do, go after a lost sheep, and in finding him who went astray, does not beat him or chide him, but comes under him, lifting him up on his shoulders to carry him home. Brothers and sisters, may we move home this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.